Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening. Welcome to the History of Alchemy podcast. I'm Travis Dow.
And I'm Pete Coleman from the Bohemican podcast.
Today we're going to talk about Robert Fludd, also known as Robertus de Fluctibus, if you will.
I won't. Wait, say that one again. You got to get out of the gate strong.
De Fluctibus. He lived from 1574 to 1637. So again, this is classic Golden Age alchemy. We're talking about the same time as Kepler, Rudolf II, Sendivogius, John Dee, Edward Kelly, that lot, right? He's a good example of a Renaissance Christian Neoplatonist. Let that sink in for a second. He liked to compare Plato with Moses and mention Hermes a lot and say how right he was because Fludd said that Hermes was inspired by Moses' writings, which is an interesting take on Hermeticism.
Fludd was a prominent English Paracelsian physician. He is remembered as an astrologer and a cosmologist, mathematician, Kabbalist, and Rosicrucian apologist. Fludd is best known for his compilations in occult philosophy. He had a celebrated exchange of views with Johannes Kepler concerning the scientific and hermetic approaches to knowledge.
He was born at Millgate House in Berstead, Kent, and his father was Sir Thomas Fludd, and he was a high-ranking government official. He was basically Queen Elizabeth I's treasurer for war in Europe, and also a member of Parliament. So,
well-connected guy.
Yeah, well-connected. He entered St. John's College in Oxford in 1591 and graduated B.A. in 1597 and M.A. in 1598.
After Oxford, Travis, he took off for the European mainland, and between 1598 and 1604, Fludd studied medicine, chemistry, hermeticism. His itinerary is not really known in full detail. However, his own account, he spent the winter in the Pyrenees studying theurgy with the Jesuits.
Which we've done a show on now, so I know we've talked about theurgy before, but on its own podcast, but again, it's a sort of a magic that included rituals like everyday things like prayer and fasting, and the intent is to bring one closer to God. So the desired result could be doing something that can be considered miracles. That also touches on thaumaturgy, but yeah, it's basically, even in a Neoplatonic sense, it could be meditating to contemplate God. You could define it as magic. Not everybody does. Everyday Christians do theurgy, so probably not magic in that sense.
It kind of overlaps, Travis, a little bit of the Neoplatonic concepts and several other alchemists' concepts of making gold.
Yeah, yeah. So, like Neoplatonists, we mention this often, but they might contemplate God while they're in the lab, right?
And so, that's the only way to have transmutation or to do some of these things.
Yeah, that's exactly what they believed. Yeah. Right. So he still wasn't done studying. On his return to England, Fludd entered Christ Church, which is also in Oxford, in 1605, and he graduated MB and MD.
So a man of letters, literally a man of letters. So after that, he moved to London, settling in French Church Street and making repeated attempts to enter the College of Physicians. Fludd encountered some problems, however, with the college examiners, both because of his unconcealed contempt for traditional medical authorities and because of his attitude. He had an issue with that.
Yeah, you mentioned he's a Paracelsian physician. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have attitude issues and they don't agree with like anybody else. At least that's my take on it. I don't know. But finally, after six failures, he was finally admitted in 1609. And subsequently, both his career and his standing in the college took a turn very much for the better. He was on good terms with Sir William Paddy, who was a royal physician. Fludd was one of the first to support in print the theory of the circulation of the blood of the college's William Harvey. So this is kind of an interesting medical landmark here. And to what extent Fludd may have actually influenced Harvey is still debated, But in the context that Harvey's discovery is hard to date precisely, so you know it's hard to say who came up with what first, but this term circulation were certainly ambiguous at that time. So if he meant blood circulation the same way we do, hard to say.
It's also good to point out here that he also disagreed with Aristotle and Galen and agrees more with Paracelsus and Neoplatonists.
Yeah, if you talk about the history of medicine, you got it. There's kind of two sides of the track there. So he's on the Paracelsus side.
Looking at his works, Flood's works were mainly controversial. In succession, he defended Rosicrucians against Andres Libavius, debated with Kepler, argued against French natural philosophers, including Gassendi, and engaged in the discussion of the weapon salve.
Yeah, we'll mention weapon salve later, but it's basically a kind of sympathetic magic. So if you're injured by, say, a particular sword, you use the weapon salve on that sword, and then your wound will be healed. So this is, yeah, sympathetic magic.
Did that work?
Well, interesting that a physician would support this.
I wouldn't think that would happen. That sounds like witchcraft to me.
Yeah, no, it's magic. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, he also studied the interrelationship between the microcosm and the macrocosm. Remember Hermeticism?
Yeah. Now, the Rosicrucian tie is pretty interesting. So he was almost certainly not a Rosicrucian, but it's often mistakenly, possibly thought that he was, because he defended them against, like you mentioned, this Libavius guy. And Libavius basically stated that the Rosicrucians indulged in heresy, diabolical magic, sedition.
Not a fan.
Yeah, many of the, you might still hear that kind of thing today, but Flood, you know, defended them against that. So I'll just point out that there are enough Rosicrucian alchemists out there to do a show on them. We also talked about, yeah, we mentioned John Dee and John Dee's influence on Rosicrucianism, actually, like in John Dee's kind of philosophy. So if we do a show on them, we'll at least wait until the John Dee episode. And it might be a while, but there is enough of a connection between Rosicrucianism and alchemy that it could warrant a show one of these days.
Johannes Kepler criticized Flood's theory of cosmic harmony in an appendix to his Harmonic Mundi. In Flood's reply to Kepler, Flood argued from a Platonist viewpoint that he claims that the hermetic or chemical approach, using the air quotes there, is deeper than the mathematical. In 1622, the reply to Kepler's Mathematicus in 1622 was actually published. Flood was well-read in the tradition coming through Francisco Giorgi, who was the Christian Kabbalist, and he may get his own episode one of these days on our podcast.
Yeah, kind of an interesting Renaissance Christian Kabbalist guy. Flood also wrote against the Tillage of Light of Patrick Scott, and Scott basically made huge claims against Hermetic alchemy, and Flood defended alchemy against the criticisms of Scott, who took it to be merely allegorical. So this work, The Truth's Golden Harrow, remained a manuscript. So in 1630, Flood proposed many perpetual motion machines. People were trying to patent variations of these machines in the up until the 1870s. So for, you know, a good 250 years. Flood's machine worked this by kind of like water recirculation method, using a water wheel and an Archimedean screw. So the Archimedean screw is like a pump. And then the water wheel, so it would run the screw. So seems like a good idea for a perpetual motion machine. Yeah, it doesn't really work. So basically the water device, the water pump would pump water back into its own tank, right? Yeah, doesn't work.
I know in previous episodes, Travis, we talked about theosophy, and really it kind of gives a focus here to that. He gives examples from the Bible and then basically says nothing can be done or learned without God's blessing. So he does make that connection back to the church through his learned background. He also says pagan philosophers stole their stuff from the philosopher Moses. But the philosophers got them wrong, which is why Aristotle was wrong, and then he redefines the elements in terms of darkness, water, and light. So he's going against the Godfather, so to speak, in saying that Aristotle had it all misinterpreted.
Yeah,
that's a lot of hubris in that.
He was really adamant on the point that he said that Plato read Moses, Hermes Trismegistus read Moses, and Aristotle just fed off of those influences. So
he was a hack.
But yeah, and really, and then they made some mistakes. for instance, he compares Aristotle's first matter to Moses's dark abyss. So he tries to create some connections there, and
maybe a little bit like of a stretch there. I sometimes it might be a little easier to make those biblical connections, but sometimes that's
that's why it's so interesting at the beginning when you mentioned he's a Christian Neoplatonist, because Neoplatonists were trying to defend paganism against this newfound religion called Christianity. And now 1,000 years later, you have Christian Neoplatonists. So there was a it's just kind of an interesting quirk in history. That
depends who's running the show at the time, I guess, right?
Because Neoplatonists were pagan, but then there came a point when they started having Christian students and would teach the logic of Aristotle and some of the more things that everybody can agree on to the Christian students. But then if you made it to the higher levels of these philosophy schools, then you would learn about Aristotle's like metaphysics and that kind of thing. But then these Christian students that learned about Aristotle's logic, when they would eventually become the teachers, and then Christianity took over Aristotle. It's an interesting side point. But anyways, yeah, not a discussion for this show. He also talks about the meaning of planets and what they're responsible for, which is, like you said, the microcosm and the macrocosm. So he kind of tried to put this into a perspective for the Renaissance times. And then we mentioned this weapon salve. So he also had some he clearly believed in some aspects of sympathetic magic. So kind of an interesting character to look at, that all the way from, in one guy we have clearly a Christian person trying to tie Moses to the ancient Greek philosophers, at the same time a Neoplatonist, at the same time a Hermeticist, at the same time a Paracelsian. Really kind of interesting guy. That was a fun one to research and take a look at, and thank you very much for listening.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the History of Alchemy podcast with Travis Dow and Pete Coleman. For more information about this episode, other episodes, and other information about alchemy, alchemists, and related subjects, visit historyofalchemy.com. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, review, and don't forget to rate us. We'd love to hear from you. Send your comments, ideas, and corrections to podcast@historyofalchemy.com or get in touch via Facebook on the History of Alchemy podcast page or Twitter @AlchemyPodcast. Tune in to our sister podcast all about the Czech Republic, Bohemicon, which is also available on iTunes or on bohemicon.com. Until next time on the History of Alchemy podcast, thank you for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.